Welcome to the Frontline Industry Podcast. Every week, we talk with top senior executives to get their advice on positively impacting frontline employees, companies, and customers. On today's episode of People First Culture Part 2, I continue my discussion with Patty Lopez-Quilleja, Chief Experience Officer and SVP of Strategic Initiatives at Fiesta Restaurant Group. Patty shares the one thing she wants her in-store teams to know: their unique investment in frontline leadership development, creating a highly customizable employee experience, more about their forward-thinking frontline benefits, and much more. Don't go anywhere. The Frontline Industry Podcast starts right now.
We had our conference in early summer. First time we had all gotten together in 3 years. So we were all very excited about it. And I remember the last day, people saying how much they appreciated everything that was done and how, you know, their superiors and how that were, you know, that they care about them. And I'm like, time out right there. Nobody here is superior, because I can tell you, I cannot do what you do. Possibly you can do what I do, but I cannot do what you guys do. We all bring something to this table. And I think that's what's important. And I think if one thing I want my teams in the field to know is that we're all bringing something to this table, and their contribution is important. That is part of this cultural change to people first. It's like, your contribution is important. And if all you want to do, because you are, and you should be proud of what you do, is you want to be the cashier at a restaurant, we want to make sure that you're the best cashier. And if that's what you want to be, that's your contribution to the brand. That is a significant contribution. And we want you to be valued. Now, if as a cashier, you say, you know, I also want to learn how to be a cook. And I also want to learn how to be a grill person, because, you know, my goal is to then be a team lead, to then be an assistant manager, to then be a manager and continue thereon and so forth. Then we want to make sure that we provide that career path for you. That's how you become an employer of choice. I hate using that term. I hate it. I think it's overused. I really don't, maybe because I don't understand it that well, but I think that's what keeps people at Pollo. I think that's what has people coming back to Pollo, because I'm not going to say, some people have gone back, gone out and said, hey, that's going to be better, because we run a full service restaurant in the back of that house. Everything is made fresh daily, with the exception of some of our sauces, our desserts. Everything is made fresh daily. Those beans have a gazillion ingredients, and they're made every day at each location. We don't have a commissary. So it is not easy work. So what does it is that pride that people have for working for us, because they know that we care. And how do you show an employee? It goes beyond, it really goes beyond pay. You're right. Everybody in this marketplace, you cannot get away with paying less than your competitors. You can't. So what is it? And for us, it's investment in them. And we have really invested in our management programs. That's where we're starting. And we have an executive GM program, and it's all about leadership. And I know we talked about that last time, and we could kind of flesh that out a little more on how we're investing in our general managers.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, and I think just before we get there, you're even pushing leadership training down to the front lines to a certain degree as well, right? This isn't like just GMs. You guys have taken the next step, if not even like 2-3 steps further down the
field. We are now going into our assistant manager level, and our team leader, hourly employees, all getting leadership coaching. One thing that, you know, as a people first organization that we want to be, again, this is an evolution for us. This isn't, hey, we're people, and I don't want anyone out there, because this is not easy. Because as you all know, when you're doing this kind of cultural change in an organization, there's a lot of resistance sometimes, not open resistance, but people are scared of the unknown. What does this mean? So there's always a little bit of friction going on within the environment. So we are getting to where we want to go. One of the things that we did was, okay, we looked at our GM. What did we need? Because as a people-first organization, we're talking about people first, but your first 8 weeks of training are just about our processes. I think that sends a mixed message. Yeah. That was the first thing we looked at. We're like, okay, hold on. 8 weeks of just process and how to make chicken, which is important. How to count the chicken, how to hold back, time out. If we're people first, then we need to bring in that coaching leadership environment early on in the game. Well, we're doing that with our managers in training. We are shifting the way we train our managers that come into the organization, whether they're assistant managers, whether they're GMs. But we had 130 plus managers already in the system, general managers. What do we do there? Marianne DiMarzo and her business partner, Amy Acker, put together this program for us because we knew our CEO, Rich Stockinger, knew that that is where our weakest link was. So we had our first class of graduates of executive GMs. And we have seen actually the return on investment at those restaurants already.
The How so?
Bottom line, which is something you wouldn't expect, but those restaurants outperform the rest with executive GMs that have gone through the program, outperform the rest of the system.
That is an incredible statement to make. What you know, without deconstructing the whole program and giving any secrets away, I guess to a certain extent, how would you define then a leader coming out of this program? You know, what things do these executive GMs espouse as leaders that perhaps they weren't espousing before as managers? If you can share that with us.
I think one of the things is do through others versus doing things myself. Is being managers, not working positions.
Yep.
Empowering your people to do, because if you're like, no, I'm going to do it, then you're not raising up that next level of leadership if you're doing everything. And one of the things that is very big in our organization is the above the line and below the line thinking. And I know Marianne's going to listen to this and she's going to say, that's my girl talking about above and below the line. And, you know, below the line thinking is our, when we're on automatic, how we just it's getting our managers to think above the line. And it takes effort. And it's something I struggle with daily. Because, the Eeyore syndrome, woe is me, oh my goodness, this is going wrong. It's how do I solve for that? And getting our managers to see beyond the everyday, the obstacles, okay, and you're empowered to solve for this. And how do you solve for this? You have a team of people that will help you because you have to ask for help. Because we are notorious. I think I don't have, as you know, a lot of experience outside of this brand. I've been here for 26 years, going to be. But I can tell you, we are notorious for not asking for help. We want to do things because we take such ownership of our restaurants, of our positions, of our functions, that we often don't ask for help. We are notorious for that. And believe it or not, that's one of the biggest barriers I think the program had to break through is asking for help, letting people do.
Well, you shared with me, I think, that 43% of your management level team members in your restaurant started off as hourly employees. And so there's a certain level of confidence and awareness of the details that are required to get that hourly job right, that it's really hard to release that and say, you know what, like, I actually know how to do this better or easier or faster or whatever it may be, but I'm going to relinquish that and hand that off to someone else and upskill and train and empower them to do it because I'm not operating at that level anymore. I have to operate in that system two thinking that and above the water, I think, as you call it.
It's,
And that's really a hard thing to do when for perhaps years of your life, you've been below the water. Do this, and I'll be good.
And that's the biggest thing. It's like, okay, I can do it faster. I can do it better.
Yeah.
And that is very hard thinking because that's our automatic thinking. That's what we're going to do because when things get tough in time of stress and crisis, you kind of go back to where you've always been.
Yep.
So it is elevating, and we all go below the line. There is no way anybody could operate at above the line all of the time.
Right.
It's that going below the line and getting back up and working yourself back up. And so we're excited about our, we've gone through two cohorts already. And, you know, and there's lessons learned, things we need to do better, things we need to maybe change the program in, you know, as the capabilities of the, you know, of the populace is different. So we're doing that. You know, it's a living, breathing modules that changed. And so they can work for everybody, because not everybody learns at the same pace. Not everybody absorbs things in the same way. So that's the beauty of this, that we are, that it's adaptable, and that's what we're doing.
You mentioned adaptability, and I'm thinking about something that you shared with me about customizing your experience for employees.
Yes.
Can you say more about that? Because it sounds like this customization of your employee experience, it's from the hourly level all the way to the senior level, really. It's like, what do you want from me?
Yes.
And what do you want from us? And I think you shared some things about benefits and stuff like that. And then, of course, this leadership program. But is there anything else that you would like to share about this customizing for them? Because at scale, that sounds really tough to do. I mean, you have thousands of employees. If I had, you know, 8 people in the room with me, I could have that conversation pretty easily. But how do you do that when you've got...
But you just said it, Joel. It's looking at the big picture, where we want to go, what we want to do. Our menu, if you look at our menu, it is highly customizable, and it is a large menu, especially for QSR. It is our one of our number one sellers, which is our Choppy Chop, has over 636 permutations of one item. If you think of the rice, the toppings, right, the proteins. So our menu is highly customizable for our guests. So we needed to make sure that our employees had that same luxury. And that's what we're working towards. Are we there yet? No. Again, if you want to be a line person, and that's, you know what, I want to be the best line person, I have no desire, then that's the route you take.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to make sure you learn, you master, and then you train everybody. Because you know what? In your restaurant, you're the best line person. That's what we talk about, customization. But if you are a line person that starts with as a line person, but want to rise up, I mean, we have 42% of field management up to the RDO level started off as hourly employees. So if there is a career path, you can choose to say, you know, I am going to learn. I am going to get all the certifications in all of the positions within the restaurant. And how that is scalable is we have programs, we have processes in place, there's a certification. But if we take every restaurant on its own, it becomes very doable, because you have 30 people in one restaurant. And yeah, not everybody's going to want. And unfortunately, in our industry, turnover, not just because of COVID, not post-COVID, turnover has always been high. So you're always going to have that group of employees that are going to come in and out of your system. They're there for however long, and then they move on. That's a given. But that core in that restaurant, then you take it what they want. And you've mentioned our benefits. I touched on our benefits. We went to them. I mean, we didn't sit in an office and say, okay, I think that what they would really like is, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Right.
We took a poll. We had them take a survey. What is important to you? One thing that we learned is during COVID, one of our assistant managers left her children alone to come to work, and somebody called the Department of Children and Families on her. That shook us to the core.
Wow.
We're like, no one in our organization should have to make the decision between making sure their kids are safe and coming into work. So we have WeCare, which is emergency childcare that we pay for.
Wow. That's incredible.
If somebody needs emergency childcare, you can do it through WeCare.
How does that work?
We buy X amount of credits from WeCare. They are actually accredited childcare providers. And there's a number you call. You say, I need childcare for today. And they, within their area, they said, okay, this is the person they'll be waiting for you to take care of your children. This is not a long-term care solution, but it is an emergency care solution that we can provide. We can't provide long-term care. We're, you know, because we cannot afford it.
Right.
But we can afford to alleviate situations like that before. We don't want anyone ever making that choice. So people said they'd love to learn English, that they struggle, if there any way we could help them. So we partnered with Miami-Dade College. We allow them to take their insurance, their vacation, before you had to earn it. So a whole year before you could earn it. But we all sat around the table and we're like, hey, we can take vacation as we accrue it. So that's how we did. So what's good for us is also good for our field employees. So now they can, hourly employees, as they accrue vacation, they can take it.
I don't know why it's so novel and difficult to find companies that do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And it, maybe there are more that I don't know about. And I'm sure there are. And people are probably listening who do. But we need to hear more of these stories. You know, we need to hear about, and I know you guys are very humble, and I know you're very humble as well, but the things that you've been able to accomplish and do for your people. But man, this is why this podcast exists, right? Is to hear these things and go, man, I want to be that company that does those things, because the loyalty that would unlock in me as a father of two to go, listen, I have no options. I want to be at work. I have pride to be there. I just don't have the option today. My wife has COVID, or my wife is, you know, gone, or what, for whatever reason, I'm a single father or something, and you know, something, my childcare is shut down for whatever reason. I need an option. And just to go, we're going to find a way. It just speaks volumes for the heart of your organization. And I think it's really, really incredible to see.
You know, a lot of our employees use buses to get to work. Hmm. They do. And if you look at our original restaurants where they were built, they're actually built around bus lines.
Huh, okay.
People to get to and from the restaurants. And one of the things we did is we partnered with Miami-Dade Transportation Systems. And if our employees buy their bus passes through this portal, they also get, I don't have how many ride shares they have a month with that. So if you are working late, you leave the restaurant at 11 o'clock at night, we don't want you to put yourself in danger walking anywhere. So you can actually call one of the rideshare services and they'll take you home. See, it's those things, it can be done. We're doing it. We wish more people would adopt it actually within our organization,
yeah.
But we have it for them. Because we want to make it easier. We want to make success. We want to make people's lives easier.
Well, in the few minutes we have left, there's two more questions I have for you. This one, I guess, is on the personal side. You know, you mentioned how blessed you are with your family and the opportunities you've had and how you started as an EA and all these different things. You know, for those who are listening who are at the beginning of their career and are looking to take that next step and who go, man, how do I navigate that, Patty? How do I go from hourly to a manager? How do I go from manager to an executive? And what sort of person do I need to become in order to accomplish those things? Not because I have, maybe I have a desire for more money, we all do, but maybe because I just have a desire to do these sort of things that you are doing, Patty, and care for people more deeply and make a bigger difference around me. What advice would you give that person listening today?
What I would say is never say no. Every opportunity that I was given is because I said yes. I know you listened to my podcast that I did with Bottle Rocket, but my original boss, Nick Castaldo, came to me and said, you know, what you do is talking to guests, because this was before, I remember, guys, I'm bold, before email, before customer surveys. People would call the office of the president. I would answer the phone and say, hey, and talk to them. And okay, I'll send you this. I'll make it right. Let the store know, hey, this is what's going on. This is what we're doing. And my boss comes and goes, you're not really good at that. Would you like to create our own internal call center, our own internal? So I said, yes. Catering. Oh, well, you already have a catering, you know, a little call center, which consisted of me and another person, by the way. How about catering? Do you think you could put together a catering department? At that time, sales were $400,000 in catering. When I gave it back to operations, it was a $5 million operation without any resources, basically. But I said, yes. And you say yes. When Rich came to me and said, you know, Patty, what you do for Pollo, and that was just the guest engagement piece, can you do it for Taco Cabana when we own Taco? I said, yes. And one thing that maybe it was a little stupid on my part, I never asked for more money. I should have. Like, okay, I'll do it. How much is it? Never.
He's listening to this eventually, so he'll fill in that blank for you.
And I was maybe not the smartest move, but it was the smartest move because that gave me the opportunity to learn. And during COVID, we had an opening as the president of Taco Cabana, and he said, you and I are going to run this. Are you in? And I said, yes, I'm in. So I've always said yes to everything. And that's what I would tell people, to say yes, be open to opportunities. And sometimes opportunities are not going to be given to you. They're not going to think of you first. You know, sometimes you have to speak up and say, hey, I'd like to do more. Talk to your manager and say, you know, I love what I do, but is there anything else I can do to be better? That's what that would be something else I recommend, but always say yes. I told that to my kid. He's out in the job market now. And I said, if they ask you to make copies, you say black or white or color, and how many do you want? You know, nothing is beneath you. I always say this when I was EA, I always loved putting my best foot forward. And when we'd have board meetings, the Carrolls, we were owned by Carrolls at a time, I would serve in China and then I would wash those dishes. And I remember someone telling me once, as I was washing dishes in the lunchroom, said, oh, you must be so proud to go home and tell your husband that you wash dishes. And I said, you know, as a matter of fact, I am, because I know that I am doing the best I can to make us look good. So I'm very proud of that. And there's no job too small, no job beneath you. And always keep that in mind. And don't let anyone make you think that is the case.
Wise words for sure. Let's end with this then. What's something that you believe that if everyone else could just believe this thing too, would make the world a better place?
I think we all have more impact than what we realize. I believe that small things make a very big impact. It was Mother Teresa that said, we can't all do big things, but we can do small things with a lot of love. And I think we all have an impact and on this, on our society, on our families, on our places of work. And I just think if we believed that, I think that would just make it a lot better for everybody.
I think we'd be a lot more intentional and realize the little things that we are doing are making a difference, whether we know it or not.
Yep.
And so I think that's incredible and good advice for us to end with. I can't thank you enough, Patty. This has been a delight for me. I hope it's been enjoyable for you. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to sit down and share your background, share your insights, the passion that you have for people, doing the right thing, loving people well and authentically. This has been a true delight for me.
Thank you. This has been good for my soul today. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. And thank you for what you do. I think we, regardless of the business that you're in, I think we're all more alike than we are different. I really believe that. So thank you for bringing us all together and letting us and giving us this platform to talk about the things that we're passionate about, which is our people, our businesses, and what we love to do. So thank you.
You're absolutely welcome, and I appreciate the kind words so very much. For those listening, I hope you go out and realize the little things this week do make the biggest difference. You may never see the difference they make, but rest assured that many of them along the way lead to some really big things in the world around us. Thank you for listening to the Frontline Industry Podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Unison. Put your best team everywhere by helping your managers truly become leaders. If you're loving some of the amazing female executives we've had on recently, you're not going to want to miss the next episode, one of the most personal, raw, and vulnerable podcasts we've had to date with Edie Freeman, SVP of HR at Thompson Hospitality. And to make sure you don't miss it, subscribe to the podcast on the platform of your choosing by clicking follow and any notification bells to get new episode alerts. And Edie and I will see you soon.